We thank you for your word. We thank you because faithful are you who has called us, and faithful are you who will perform every of your word. Lord, your faithfulness will be revealed in every life here today in Jesus' name. As your people decide that you are the one they are seeking, as your people decide that they will forever praise you, my Lord and my God, lives around and turn their situations around in a way, O God, that will testify to your goodness in Jesus' name. Where you are being praised, you are not far from there. Because the Bible says you inhabit the praise of your people. You inhabit the lives of your people as they choose to praise you in Jesus' name. Lord, be exalted. Father, be glorified. Yes, in your church, and at the end of to touch by you, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I want us to open our Bible to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, Psalm 24. The book of Psalm, chapter 24. I'm going to read from verse 3 to 6. Psalm 24. 3 to 6. And into the hill of the Lord. Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Everything that was said before verse 6 gave the characteristics of those who seek the Lord. They are the people who will ascend to the holy hill of the Lord. They are the people who will stand in his presence. That is what the Bible is making us to understand. And by the special grace of God, I want to share with us today generation of God seekers and praisers. Generation of God seekers and praisers. Remember that sometimes in 2011, we started talking about the different spiritual generations. And we said that in every dispensation, different generations coexist. We decide as to what generation we belong to. We've spoken of the generations that caused their fathers, the self-righteous and the wise generations, the generation of vipers, the sign-seeking generation, the stubborn and rebellious generation. We talked about the generation of the upright and righteous. We are here to talk about this. We have the generation of God seekers and God praisers, and that's what we are talking about today. And we are going to cap it up with the chosen generation. You will notice that I've not followed it the way I've listed it here. The chosen generation. And by the special grace of God, like I said, We are talking about generation of God seekers and praisers. As you seek him, you will find him in Jesus' name. Only those who choose to seek God will be willing to pay the price that is necessary to make it in this heavenly race that we are running. Only those who are truly seeking God. Those who are not seeking God, I've said it before, the moment you find what you are looking for, why bother? I've shared with us before the story of a man who went to a crusade. At the crusade, they were told that if anyone was sick, they were to come out to be prayed for. Many people came out, and this man was one of them. He was prayed for, and he received instant healing. And of course, he gave his life to Christ, as you would expect. The details of the people who gave their life to Christ and who were healed were taken, and first Sunday came, the brother did not attend. Second Sunday came, the brother was not there. Third Sunday came, the church asked the people who normally will follow people to go and follow this man up. They went to see him. When they met with him, they said, "Brother, thank God for what God did in your life. You know, we haven't seen you for 3 Sundays. Oh, he said, "What I came for, I got it. Why do I have to come back to church again?" So you better be seeking God. Praise the Lord. Because true God seekers and praisers are the people who will hold back nothing from God in their quest to meet with him. The people who truly seek God and the people who want to praise God with their lives, they are the people who will not hold back anything, including their time. That is how you will know whether you are truly seeking him. If it's God you are seeking, you will not hold back anything. Because the God we are serving did not hold back anything from us. He gave his best and he gave his all. He gave everything that he had in form of his son. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8 to 10, Paul wrote, he said, "Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as risen from the dead, as the prophesied king descended from David, according to the good news, the gospel that I preach. For that gospel I am suffering affliction and even wearing chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained or imprisoned. Therefore, I am ready to persevere and stand my hand with everything for the sake of the elect, that's God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the reward of eternal glory. You will receive the reward of eternal glory in Jesus' name. But for every soul that is going to be saved, somebody must be making up their mind that they are going to pay the price. Paul said, he said, I am ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure how many things? Everything. I'm ready to endure all things, everything, for the sake of the elect. Those who know who they are seeking are ready to endure anything and everything for the sake of the person they are seeking. I think I spoke to us some time ago about one of the tricks of the enemy to cause distraction. It's part of his tricks. He causes distraction. And the story I often tell is the story of the dog race. And the two dogs who are at the forefront of that race. And they saw something like a rabbit run across the track. And they left the track to follow. And the ones that were behind did what? They coasted home. You will not be like that in Jesus' name. Those who are seeking God, they do it with patience and endurance. I told the workers yesterday about an article I read that says that it is good to be sad. That it's not always good to be happy. That sometimes it is good to be sad. And that we run away from those emotions, and that a lot of homes are broken, a lot of lives are truncated because of those moments, the difficult moments, because nobody wants to persevere anymore. But those who will seek God, they must be ready to persevere. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. The book of Mark chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. Mark 4, 18 to 20. It says, and the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. The one who is seeking God would not allow anything else to contend with God in their lives. Because there are things that want to choke the word, even as you are hearing it now. There are things that want to compete with the word of God. There are some knowledge you will have that want to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. These are the kind of things that the Bible says we have to pull down. These are the things we have to cast down in our lives so that God can take preeminence. And verse 20 says, and those sown on the good ground, the good, well-adapted soil, are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit. Some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. Those who are seeking God will definitely bear fruit. If it is God we are seeking, we will do what? Definitely bear fruit. In other words, what I'm asking us to do today is that we should reorder our priorities in life. Not only when we are in church, even at home, that we reorder our priorities from today to make sure that He is the one we are seeking. And the other thing about those who seek God is that their preoccupation is to please Him. Those who seek God have one preoccupation, and that preoccupation is to what? Is to please God. How many of us, I mean, there's a saying in Yoruba language. They say, why don't you call the sick man the bridegroom so he will allow you to pass? Isn't it? Huh? They say that. In other words, they say, why don't you do what is necessary to get what you want? In the Australian parlance, they call it suck up. Eh? In other words, people will do anything. When it comes to like material possession, when it comes to achieving in life, people will pay the price that is necessary. If we know anybody who is going to stand in our way, we don't mind prostrating for that person and be nice. But if we are seeking God and truly seeking God, why would we allow obstacles to stand in our way? Why would we pay any price that we need to pay in order that we might take hold of Him who has called us? It's so interesting that we know all these principles when it comes to the things that has to do with the physical, the things that will gratify us in the immediate. But when it comes to the things of God, we are not able to exercise the same restraint, the same level of commitment. We are not able to exercise them. I'm challenging us this year that we will lay aside every constraint that limits our ability to proclaim the goodness of God, our ability to serve God, our ability to trust Him, our ability to walk with Him. Let's lay it aside this year. And you will see the goodness of God. After all, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, no soldier when in service. I like that. It says, no soldier when in service. Only soldiers that are not in service will allow the things of the world to distract them. It says, no soldier when in service gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him. Do you know who enlisted you? Did man enlist you? Did God enlist you? Praise the Lord. If God enlisted you this year, you must look at pleasing Him. Remember, the first point is that you will hold back nothing if truly you want to please Him. If truly you want to please Him, you will hold back nothing this year. In terms of your time, in terms of your strength, in terms of your intellect, everything you put in the service of the Lord this year. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, you shall reverently fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him and cling to Him. and by his name and present you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. God is your praise. He is the one who has brought you this far. How much do we appreciate the Lord this year? How much do we appreciate the things that God has done for us? For me, last year, there were things that I would rather forget. I'm telling you, there are things that happened that I would rather forget. But when I think about them, it just makes me to stand in awe of the God we serve. And I just know it is by his sheer mercy, it is by his sheer goodness that I'm alive today. It is by his sheer mercy that I'm who I am and what I am today. I just discovered that there is nothing that I can boast of. Nothing that has not been through his mercy in my life. That is why God has to be your praise this year. God has to be your praise. I've told us before, everyone is praising something or somebody in their life. You are either praising yourself, you are praising your uncle, you are praising your dad, you are praising somebody or something, you are praising your intellect, somebody is giving or ascribing glory to somebody or something in his life. Some people praise other gods. Some people talk about their prowess, how well they are able to plan. So somebody is taking the glory somewhere. The glory in your life, only God will take it in Jesus' name. He said, the Lord shall be your praise. And if your preoccupation is to please him, this year you are going to run away from everything that stands for ungodliness. Because you just want to please him. You don't want to please man. Everything. Look, when it comes to choosing between man and God, I mean, my choice is very clear. When it comes to making a choice between man and God, your choice has to be clear. That is why you have to run away from every form of ungodliness this year. So that the blessing that God has promised will come upon you and your children. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, the Bible says, take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. I like that. You know, I keep telling people, I say sometimes you don't even have to talk. You don't have to say anything. Just by the mere way you live your life is already convicting people around. Am I right? When somebody chooses not to... Look, let me tell you something. I don't know how you feel. When you are in a hurry, you are driving your car and you put your foot on the pedal in 60 kilometer zone and you are doing 80, 85. And you see some of these people, particularly the elderly, and they just keep to their 60 and you go past them. I don't know if your conscience will just strike you. Just know, you look again at the speed limit and you just know that you, just because somebody had decided to do the right thing, that is already speaking to you. Or everyone queue on the line and you come, you don't want to be on the queue. How do you think you are going to feel? Because their behavior has already spoken volumes, even without them saying anything. God is saying to you that this year, your behavior and your way of life will speak volumes to people in Jesus' name. Because it will stand in contrast to the life that the world lives. Again, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. Those who truly, truly, truly want to please him, those who are seeking him will truly want to please him. And if you want to please him, you will do anything. You will abstain from the from anything in order to please him. Now we charge you, brethren. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we charge you, brethren, in the name and on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that you withdraw and keep away from every brother, fellow believer, who is slack in the performance of duty and is disorderly, living as a shaker and not walking in accord with tradition and instruction that you have received from us. People who are not taking the things of God seriously, avoid them this year. People who make mockery of the things of God, avoid them this year. People who don't mind whether the things of God are evil spoken of, avoid them this year. People who live their life outside this place in a way that does not glorify God, the Bible says, avoid them this year. There are ways of life that glorify God in a believer. People who will be do live their life in a way that will glorify God, you will know them. I've told you that our priorities have changed over the years. We no longer hold in high esteem people who are honest and truthful, people who are fair and just, people who show compassion and mercy, people who love, people who choose to live holy. They are the people you need to esteem. They are the people you have to esteem this year. They are things to strive for. That's the way. Look, every one of us is complaining about the suffering in some parts of the world, but we know the cause of those things. That is because people have chosen to live ungodly. Irrespective of who they are. I was listening to BBC documentary yesterday on the radio. There was this Asian woman, I think she grew up in the UK. I don't know if you listened to that program too. She grew up in the UK. And it turned out that her husband, I think his mom and other people in that family, they connived and they killed somebody. And she knew about it. The investigation was on, and this woman went out and told them what she knew. They belonged to a Sikh community. She was ostracized. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with her. They had to get police protection from her. She lost her husband. Of course, they had to go to prison when it was proven that they actually killed this person. The whole of their subculture turned against her. Why? Because the life of the person that was killed, meant nothing to them. What was important was the fact that they wanted to maintain the bond of their relationship with those people. Instead of the world coming out and celebrating her, the world ostracized her. Because what we now have, we now say there are no absolute truths, but that truth is relative. Tell me, how can it be relative if somebody has been killed? And you know, and you are expected to keep it. That is the world we live in. But as for us, children of the living God, we cannot be like that. We will be the people who will stand for what is right. The basis for our friendship is living righteous. The basis for your relationship with somebody must be because they are living righteous. Because the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, and a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If you have the wrong friend, let me tell you, if you've been going up before, if they are not in the right place, they will pull you down. You are going up this year in Jesus' name. I say this year, you are on an upward journey in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will lift you up. And everything that used to set you back last year, you will see them no more in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, verse 18 and 19, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So, now, I don't know where people see when they say that if you are like Christ, that people will just love you, that everybody will just be following you. I don't know where people see that. Oh, this is Jesus speaking with his own mouth. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So the world actually hated him. That's what he's saying. The world was not in love with him. And verse 19, he said, if you were of the world, the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. That is who you are. The God seeker. You are not seeking the favor of man. You are not seeking the good returns they will give to you. The reason you do the good you do is because you are seeking God. And that God you are going to find this year in Jesus' name. That is why where we read in Mark chapter 4 becomes very important. That good times in the life of people who are seeking God, good times are times when we need to also be very careful. The good times, when things are going very well, we also need to be very careful. As Solomon prayed, telling God, say, don't give me too much riches or else I forget that there's God. And at the same time, don't let me suffer, oh God, in a way that will begin to doubt you. That will be your portion in Jesus' name. You will not suffer in the mighty name of Jesus. The goodness of God will pass before you this year in Jesus' name. The true praisers and seekers, they are not seasonal worshippers or seasonal Christians. You have to make up your mind that in 2012, we have already prayed the prayer. The cloud is pregnant. Because the Bible makes us to understand that when the cloud is pregnant, what happens? The rain falls. Our cloud is already pregnant by reason of the prayers that we have been saying for the past 2 weeks. And there's going to be rainfall, an abundance of rain this year. And my desire is that you are going to partake of that rainfall. Because the Bible makes us to understand that you are going to be like that spring that does not fail in its season to bring forth water. The grass around you is going to be green. It promises to be green this year. Only do not be a seasonal praiser or seeker of God. Be always prepared this year, more than ever before. Be prepared to live in the Spirit. Be prepared to have a different way of looking at things this year. Looking at things from God's own angle. Looking at things from whether what you want to do or what you are going to do is going to please God. Don't be a seasonal worshiper. Seasonal worshippers are the people who will only worship God when things, you know, when it looks like there's some improvement in their situation. You know, there's one thing that I've told us that I think is taking place here that needs to change. On this, we are not feeling too good. Can you hear this? On this, we are not feeling too good. That's the day we take to our bed. On some Sundays, you wake up, you are not feeling too good. It's because, maybe because of physical reasons or because of the state of your mind and so on. And I keep telling people, in fact, that is the day to come to church. That is the day to come to His presence. And when you ask people, they say, "Ah, you see, I wasn't feeling too good today and I just decided to." Is it the time to come? Because he who is not sick does not need a physician. It is the person who is sick and downcast and dejected and hopeless that needs a physician. That is when to come. The day you don't feel like, I don't know if you know this principle, that it is the morning that you don't feel like it, that you wake up and start praising God. Do you hear that? And what would that day be like for you? You'll be surprised how that day will just turn around for you. Just take courage to open your mouth and just praise Him. The day you don't feel like giving, that is when you should give. Praise the Lord. The day you don't feel like doing good, maybe you've been battered, you've been disappointed, and you are becoming discouraged, that is when to do good. Because only God will take the glory in your life. I say only God will take the glory in your life. Psalm 34, verse 1 to 5 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will do what? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You see, sometimes when we start to give testimony, people think you are boasting. I will make my boast in the Lord my God. I will exalt His name. I will talk about His goodness. I will praise His name. I will talk about His kindness in my life. I will talk about the things He has done. Because I just know that I don't even deserve some of the things He's given me. I just know that I'm not capable of some of the things He has done in my life. Not me, but He that works in me is the one doing it. So that's why I'm not afraid to talk about His goodness. He said, the psalmist said, I will talk about it. And the humble, who is the humble? The person that is downtrodden at that time. The person that is going through a bad situation. That's why when you come to me, I have 101 stories I will tell you that will lift up your mind, lift up your heart, lift up your soul. I have 101. If where you are, I've been there before. And I've seen the salvation of the Lord. And I can readily share it with you. And I will tell you, the Lord who did it in my life can do it in your life. You know, there are some people you go to and you tell them, this is what I'm going through, brother. And say, your situation is terrible. I've never seen this type before. The one I saw the last time was not as bad as yours. Yours is so terrible. But the psalmist said, as for me, what I will do is this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Look, some of the things I say, look, not because there's hope of seeing anything. I would say it because God has asked me to declare it. And when I declare it, it's going to come to pass. I've told people here before, if you are a prophet and you don't believe in your own prophecy, who is going to believe in your prophecy? Praise the Lord. You are a prophet. You say something. When something, I'm on the lookout. I'm waiting for God to perform it. When something comes out of my mouth, in my life, I'm waiting for God to do it. I don't say it in order to psych you up. If I want to psych people off, I will go to my psychotherapy room and psych people up there. Not in the church. I'm saying it because that is what I believe. That's why I put my reputation on the line. I put my life on the line. I put everything I had on the line. It doesn't matter to me. If I don't believe it, I won't be standing in front of you to preach the word. He said, I will make my boast in the Lord my God. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fear. The Lord will deliver you from all your fears in Jesus' name. He said, they look unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. As you look unto him this year, you will not be ashamed in Jesus' name. So you, this year we must continuously be praising God. And when we're praising God continuously, I can guarantee you that God will hear you. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In a land like this, where you don't know many people, you know, no one knows you, you have no reputation, nobody has known you before, and you are in a place you are likely to be, you know, you are looking out and say, if I just take this step and it's wrong, what if it is wrong? If I do this, what if that is wrong? And you live from fear to fear. God says he's going to deliver you this year in Jesus' name. In confidence, you are going to walk. In confidence, you are going to walk in Jesus' name. All you need to do is to be a God seeker. And do you know the other thing that God says he will do? As you seek him continuously, he said they look unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. He said he's going to separate you from shame this year in Jesus' name. See what else is going to happen to your life this year. Open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 1. Seek him continuously. See what God is said to do. Say, who is like the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his countenance is changed. Praise the Lord. When you know the Lord, he is the author of wisdom. He will give you a way out this year. And I keep telling people, I say the reason we get frustrated is when we don't know the way out. Let me tell you, if you know 101 ways of addressing that problem, if one way is blocked, you will take the other way. Am I right? You won't be frustrated. That is why the face of the wise will be shining, because he knows the way out. When God is on your side this year, you are just going to know the way out, and your face will be radiant in the mighty name of Jesus. We don't have to wait until everything is rosy. Do you know, in that place of torment, of suffering, you can offer effective praise. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 26, Paul and Silas, they were in a terrible situation. You know that? They were in prison. The praise that opened the gate of their entrapment was said when they were entrapped. And do you know something else? Most of the books in the New Testament were written in agony. They were not written in pleasure. Were they? Most of the books in the New Testament that we read today and we say, thank God for Paul's life, they were written in prison. What about John? Banished, isolated, ostracized. they were written in pain. What about Jeremiah? Look at those books. They did it. Look, let me tell you something. There will never be a convenient time if you want to serve God, if you are seeking God this year. Did somebody hear that? There will never be a time when it is convenient, 100% convenient, and you just know that all the time you have in the world, you know, is just to serve God. Because some of us will be saying, look, I just wish I win Lotto now. If I win $10 million Lotto, do you know I will just be praising God? Let me tell you something. You'll be so preoccupied with spending your $10 million that you won't even have time to come to church. Am I right? In fact, you will employ a personal assistant who will be designing your program every day. So much so that when they say church, you say, you see, I just know, you know, those, you know, that's my program. I need to go and see. Look, I'm going to Canada. You see, I've just started a program. I've started feeding some motherless babies in Africa. That's where I'm going. You won't even have time to pray. If you are not going to do it within the constraint of what you have now, when the riches come, when the prosperity come, when the blessings come, I'm telling you, the story will be what? Will be the same. How many of us agree with me? Praise the Lord. How many of us agree with me? It's true. It's true. Because I've been there before. And I will keep postponing it. You keep postponing it. You just say, oh yeah, only if it gets better, I will do. Let me tell you something. God will bless you. And I hope it will not be the source or the reason for not serving him. When you are truly seeking God, you can be guaranteed of his presence this year. You can be guaranteed of his presence. How do I know that? Because God inhabits the praise of his people. Why is the presence of God so important? Somebody told this story of the three fish in the ocean. They were swimming, just swimming, cruising, and enjoying themselves. And they saw a big shark coming, and they decided, or thought of how they will be saved from the shark. One of them prayed to God and said, you see, these sharks, they are just too dangerous. Every time, you see, my heart starts to, you know, pump. And he prayed to God and said, God, I want you to give me eyes all over so that I can see the shark from a distance. And truly, God answered the prayer of the fish. As soon as the fish saw the shark coming, it ran and jumped into the pool next to the ocean. And when dry season came, the pool dried up. And the fish died. The other fish said, Lord, I want you to give me wings so that anytime the shark is coming, I know the shark cannot fly. I'll just fly out of the ocean. Praise the Lord. And truly, the shark was coming. The fish grew wings. Choo! And the eagle was just passing by and saying, thank God! Caught it. That was the end. And the third one said, God, I just pray that you'll be with me always. And when the shark came, The shark ran back. He said, ah, that's the shadow of a man there. Every time the shark tried to come, you see a shadow around it, it will go back. The Lord will be with you this year in Jesus' name. If you choose to press him this year, you are guaranteed of his presence. And his presence guarantees success. Did you hear that? The presence of God guarantees success. That was why Moses said, we will not go forward, Lord. We are not going anywhere except you go with us. Ask Joshua. When the presence of God was with them and they got to Jericho, what did they do? They compassed the city round about 7 days, seven times the last day. And what happened? The wall came crumbling down. And that is the power of the presence of God. And then they went to a city of about how many people? Probably about 3,000. They chose 3,000 people to go and fight in that city, the city of Ai. But because the presence of God did not go with them, what happened? The Bible said they turned their back to their enemies. You know what it means? When you turn your back on your enemy, you are running. You will not run this year in Jesus' name. You are going to go through and you are going to make a success of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's open our Bible to 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. The presence of the Lord promises to be mighty. It's going to be mighty in your home, mighty in your life, mighty in his church this year. That is why every time we come together, there will be signs and wonders to follow in Jesus' name. His presence is all that we need. He said, and they brought up the ark of the Lord. The ark of the Lord signifies the presence of God. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those the priests and the Levites bring up. I'm reading verse 4 of 1 Kings 8. And verse 5. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that was assembled unto him were with him before the ark sacrificing. In other words, they were praising him, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. In other words, it was a careless worship. It was unrestrained worship. They just gave everything that was available. They just decided to just slaughter and shed blood for the Lord. I just say, God, just take this. You see, you are so marvelous in our sight. You've been so great to us. You have been so wonderful. You are the reason we exist. You are all in all. You know, they just praised the Lord. And the Bible said, let's look at verse 10 to 11. The Bible said, and it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. The glory of the Lord will fill his house this year in Jesus' name. You see, that is why we need to come and pray before we come into his presence. That is why people need to be offering sacrifice of prayers. The things that are going to happen in our midst, in our congregation, they don't happen because of now. They are going to happen because somebody is making sacrifice somewhere. What will happen in your life and in the life of your children will happen because somebody is making sacrifice somewhere. Somebody is calling upon the name of the Lord day in, day out, and say, Father, if you are not in this, then I cannot be successful. I want your presence. They said the presence of God was so mighty that, you see, I remember we on one of these Fridays, we were here not long ago for the 1 hour prayer, and all that we did was worship. How many of us can remember that? Those of us who are here then. All we did was worship. And that day was a different... There was no asking. There was no... All that we did was just sing and just worship God. We just... The entire 1 hour. And I felt whole. I left this place. I just knew that stones had been rolled away. I just knew that breakthrough had come. I just knew that God was in... has started the business of restructuring, of doing something great in his church. I just knew that God has started the business of promoting himself in this place. If somebody will make some sacrifice or praise this year, we will spend less energy settling quarrels. We will spend more energy glorifying Him. In fact, we will spend more energy thinking of how the harvest that is coming in, how we are going to be able to contain it, how we are going to be able to accommodate them. That should be the things we are worrying about. In fact, the blessings of God, the abundance that God is providing this year in your life, that will be the thing you are worrying about. Say, how will I do it? Should I be giving God 90%? Because God has so much blessed me this year. He will bless you in Jesus' name. That's what His presence can do. That's what His presence can do. Your prayer will draw down His presence this year in Jesus' name. You know, many of us, we are no longer in God anymore. If you ask us to praise God for 5 minutes, fuel will finish from the tank. Am I right? No, it's true. But before, we used to praise Him. We used to just praise Him all day long, all night long. Am I right? We used to do it. What's happened? This year, we are going to start. And the Lord is going to start with us. And we are going to make a success of this year in Jesus' name. Praise Him until something happens. Praise Him until something happens. Let's open to Isaiah chapter 61. Praise Him until something happens. Until something glorious happens in your life. Remember, we said that where you praise Him, His presence comes. His Spirit comes. And when His Spirit comes, Isaiah 61, 1 to 7, when we get to that place where, look, we begin to run prayer chains for 24 hours, we assign ourselves to pray. You say you pray from 8 to 10, you wake up and pray from, 10 to 12, you wake up from 12 to 2, and we are praying like that. An offering is going to the Lord, and somebody's praise, even in the night, is going to the Lord. You think God will not do things in our midst? That is when prophecy will start to come. Look at Isaiah 61, 1 to 7, and see the kind of thing that will begin to happen when the Spirit of the Lord is upon the house, upon the tabernacle, upon His church. Prophecy will come forth. God will begin to bind the brokenhearted. Those who are in captivity will be set free. God will even avenge you, that you don't even have to say anything. God will just start to avenge you. God will begin to give you beauty for ashes. Your joy will be restored. Your righteous life becomes exemplary. You become a builder for God, and you benefit from heavenly provisions. And God will confirm your priesthood. Just look at the benefits there. By drawing down His presence. That's all you need to do. That's what God will do with your life this year. God seekers and praisers will see and celebrate miracles. So if you seek Him this year, you are going to see miracles. You are going to celebrate miracles. In Matthew chapter 6, 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. When God started giving Hannah additions in her life, she couldn't keep quiet. That's why I love reading First Samuel chapter 2. Open to First Samuel chapter 2. Verse 4 to 9, Hannah could not, she just couldn't keep quiet, because you see, the law of nature is changed where the presence of God is. He defies the law of nature. He turns things upside down. to favor the elect. When things are not going right, he rights the wrong in the lives of the elect. That's what happens when you draw down his presence. He said, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are guarded with strength. In other words, the mighty men, those who know, have the wherewithal, those who know how to do it, he said their bows are broken. They become clueless. God will start to give victory to weaklings. When you draw down his presence, he starts to give victory to weaklings. There's a Yoruba saying. I don't know how to paraphrase it. Praise the Lord. You see, the dog that is directionless, is clueless. You know, you have different dogs. You just know some are very sharp. Some not very sharp. The clueless dog will just stand where he's standing, and the animal will run and he will grab me. That's all. And you say, ah, good boy. Well done, well done, well done. Because God is on your side. I say, God will be on your side this year in Jesus' name. He said, the bows of the mighty, they are broken in his presence. They are broken. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry seized. In other words, those who are full before, those who are known, the rich men, those who had a lot of possession, they are the people who are now giving themselves. Do you know, to be hired out for bread means you become an ewofa, servitude. They've gone in servitude. The wealthy, the people who are renowned, they've gone into servitude. But those who are poor, those who are being written off, God begin to change their destiny. Their hunger ceases. So that the barren have born seven, and she that had many children is wax feeble. In other words, there is a reversal of role. God will reverse things to favor you this year in Jesus' name. He said, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. He will bring you up this year in Jesus' name. He said, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Why won't we serve that God? Why won't we crave his presence? Because he can bring you up. He will bring you up this year in Jesus' name. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. In other words, he demotes, he promotes, he can transfer, he can change your class. You know, in some country they have what they call the caste system. In the caste system, people of lower caste cannot talk to people of higher caste. Oh yes, in some part of Nigeria we also have a bit of that. They can't marry them. You can't even, but the Bible is saying that God can change your caste from lower caste to what? To upper class. Do you know what? If you break through today, if you are of lower caste, you become a multimillionaire, the people of upper class will start kissing your shoes. God can do it. God can do it. He will do it in your life in Jesus' name. Miracles happen. He said he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. It's not going to be by your strength this year. It's going to be because the Lord has chosen to favor you in Jesus' name. He reverses the natural order. If he doesn't favor the elect, God will just reverse the natural order until he favors his chosen ones. You know what? The elevation of David was as a result of his life of praise. Many of us would think of David in terms of when he was anointed king. Am I right? We think of where he was anointed king. But we never ask ourselves, why was he anointed king? Why him, of all his siblings? Why was David anointed king? I want to give an answer. Praise the Lord. Because David was a praiser of God. Because David was what? Was a praiser. That was why he was anointed king. Because when you exalt the Lord, he will exalt you. How do I know? It was not after he was anointed that he started practicing to play harp that drove out demons. He went before King Saul to play before him, to cure him of his ailment, of his mental illness, his depression, whatever you call it. He's been anointed. He's been praising God. When there was no one else there, he was singing praise to God. He will amuse himself. He said, I will make my boast in the Lord my God. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will make my boast. He didn't just start writing psalms. He had been doing it. He had been practicing. So that by the time he became, you think it was the time he became king that he had time to be practicing how to write? He must have been writing before, composing. By the time he became a king, he was so preoccupied with war that he probably won't have time. Those things were just reeling out of him. He was just saying them. He was just saying them because he's practiced them in the wilderness, in the days of trouble. He's practiced them so much so that it had become part of him. He said, I will make my boast in the Lord my God. That is what we should be doing this year. Ready to make our boast in the Lord our God. I will praise him at all times. He said his praise will continually be in my mouth. Let the praise of God continually be in your mouth this year. Can we just rise up? Can we just rise up? Just one thing you are going to ask God for. Say, Father, let your praise be continually in my mouth this year. Let your praise be continually, irrespective of what is happening around me, irrespective of my circumstance, let your praise be continually in my mouth this year. Those who seek God, they will praise him. Those who seek his face, those who want to, you will praise him. You'll be preoccupied with seeing, you know, the glory of God. You'll be preoccupied with seeing God manifest himself. You'll be preoccupied to see the work of God go forward. You'll be preoccupied to, you see, when you can give yourself, what else can you not give? Pray that his praise will continually be in your mouth this year. Let your praise continually be in my mouth, O God. That situation that I will encounter that will make your praise to dry up in my mouth, Lord, don't let me encounter it. Oh, my Father, my God, if it's riches, don't give it to me, the one that will not allow me to praise you. Anything that will stop me from praising you, Father, don't bring it my way in Jesus' name. I want your praise to fill my mouth this year. I want your praise to fill my home this year. I want your praise to fill my being this year. Everything that would diminish your praise from my mouth, my Lord and my God, separate me from them. Separate me from them. I will praise nothing else but you this year. Because I'm relishing your victory. I'm relishing what you can do. I just know you are more than able. This year, I belong to the generation of God seekers and praisers. I will praise you at all times. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Daddy, for the word we have had today. Our Lord and our God, we are climbing over hills this year. Amen. Every valley under our feet, they are being filled up this year in Jesus' name. Amen. My Lord and my God, the song of victory is on our lips. The song of deliverance is on our lips. With our mouth, we are declaring your goodness. We are making our boast in the Lord our God. Because you are more than able. Father, because your people have heard you say this today. Lord, they are walking into their miracles in Jesus' name. Your praise on their lips shall be unceasing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. As your people go out in victory, this year will be spectacular in your lives. Mark it. Go and write it down. This year will be spectacular in your life in Jesus' name. Just praise the Lord. Thank you, Daddy. Father, we bless you. Why don't you just praise the Lord? Just magnify him. Just glorify him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you, Jesus. You are more than able. You are able, you are faithful, who has called us, Lord. You will do wonders in our lives. You do wonders in our homes. You do wonders with everything that pertains to us. Lord, we just embed ourselves in you, O God. We release ourselves into you this year. We just say, make of us, Lord, you are the potter, we are the clay. Mold us and remold us. Make us and remake us. Bring the finest, O Lord, of the vessels out of us, and make us vessels unto honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Can we share the grace in fellowship?